This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
The only thing about watermelon is it's like a Taiwanese hooker. It is 50-50 if you're going to like what you find when you open it up.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, hip-hop artist Knothead, with Sophie Tomey on the news, and now your host. The coronavirus quarantine doesn't bother him because legally he's not supposed to leave his house anyway. Deese Casillas!
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. We appreciate you guys hanging out. As always, guys, off the top, business out of the way, go to Patreon.com/pantspending. Kick in a little donation to the network so we can keep this little thing going. Get some special behind the scenes content from across the network. All sorts of stuff from the Never Ending Random Discussion, the Burr Martin Experience, as well as this show. Although I say that a lot, and I don't put a lot of exclusive content up, to be completely honest with you. It's just this show. But I put a lot of free content on it, so fuck you guys. You get all sorts of shit all the time. So guys, thank you again for coming. As usual, Sophie is here. Sophie, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Wow, so polite. It's like you went to a wedding yesterday. Thank you. You had your manners on. And also in studio, our guest, rapper Steve Margraff, a.k.a. Knothead. Steve, how you doing?
Hello, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. No applause, no autographs. Thank you.
Thanks for coming down, man. I was looking forward to having you on. I've been trying to get musicians since I started the show. Musicians and have always been my favorite guests. For some reason, always the best guests. I don't know why. And we have a lot of comedians on, obviously, and other people, but I feel like comedians just ends up being us talking shit about things only like other comedians know about. It gets weirdly exclusive. And everyone likes music. Not everyone likes comedy. I feel like you don't ever meet people that are like, I don't like music. I listen to no music.
Dude, I've ran into a couple even recently. I just don't get it. I'm like, not any
music,
anything. Nothing.
Like chamber music, like, anything.
Growing up, nothing. Your parents listened to nothing. Like at high school, nah, it's just Nah.
God. What a world.
Where did you grow up?
Yeah, what do you listen to? Yeah. What did you grow up in, like, New Meadows, Idaho?
Just live with the, like, interior dialogue, the thoughts in your head.
You just think your thoughts? That's gross. So, Steve, you are a rapper in town. What do you tell people? How do you put it?
I definitely, like, in the, like, purest basis form, I'm definitely a rapper. Like a guy who always wanted to be in a band but didn't have any musical talent, so to speak. I tried to play guitar for a couple of years in high school and junior high, I guess. I played for a whole year, you know, pretty much every day, maybe missed 3 or 4 days, at least an hour a day. Didn't get any better. Like, after a year and a half or so, I thought I had fingers. I did not have fingers. Found out I had big, swollen, uncoordinated sausages.
Just nothing, yeah. Right? I attempted a guitar also. I was teaching myself, and I was going along decently, but it's one of those things, like, if you're not doing it for hours and hours a day, especially you start later in life, it's like, just give it up, man. Just give it up, you know? I always said I feel like I can do a lot of things, but I have to work, like, twice as hard to be half as good.
Yeah.
Like, I'll gut it out. I'll put in the work, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to grind it out, but it's going to be a lot of fucking work.
Oh, I so identify with that.
So you gave up the guitar, and you just felt like music. Did you try any other instruments?
Oh, well, you know, everyone plays recorder in fifth grade.
I did not.
Oh.
I was supposed to, but I literally hated it so much I faked being sick every Wednesday so I could not have to play.
Yeah, I did trombone and did a big stand-up double bass for a while.
Okay.
This is all school growing up, and just didn't quite work out for me. I wasn't naturally predisposed to it.
Didn't click for you, huh?
No,
it is one of those things where you really have to – it is in people, you know? I mean, they always talk – like, you know, Tommy Lee – musician Tommy Lee obviously talks about how when he was a kid, like, he was just banging on pots and pans, you know. I mean, he was a drummer. That's what he was born to do, literally, you know. And it's one of those things where it's just, you really see it in people early with their gifts, what they have. So where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Spokane, or where are you from?
I'm a transplant. I'm a coastie. I am from Port Townsend, Washington, about 7 miles outside of that. I tell people a ferry ride and 2 bridges northwest of Seattle.
Okay, couple tolls.
Yeah,
on the way.
You know how Washington State is shaped? It's got that peninsula out there.
Yeah,
the very, very northeastern tip.
Okay,
like right at the mouth of Puget Sound and straight to Wanda Fuca.
Sure. Okay.
Port Townsend. It was supposed to be Seattle, but at the last second, the port got built in Seattle. It's an old Victorian town.
All right. How long have you been in Spokane?
I moved to Spokane in 2005 and lived here until 2010, and then moved to Vancouver, Washington, and then moved back here in 2017 so my wife could go to Gonzaga.
Okay. So back and forth between Spokane. What brought you here originally?
Originally, I followed a friend of mine from high school and my first producer who made my first album. I was troubled and aimless is a very diplomatic way of putting my young adulthood. And, you know, when you're running from, you can go anywhere. But what are you running to?
Yeah.
You know, I could have gone anywhere, but I didn't have anything to go to. But Robert had come to Spokane, and he was saying, well, come over here and work on music. I'll come over here and work on music. Didn't really have any other options, so.
Were you doing music at the time then, 2005? Or was that just kind of like, he's like, maybe this is what you can do? Or is that something you had aspirations towards or was working on then?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had put my first album out in 2001, and he moved shortly after that.
Oh, okay. So you had done it now when you guys were on the west side of the state.
Yeah. And I had not managed to create anything else in the meantime. But also, you know, that's a small town and basically at the corner of Deep Forest and Mountain Range. So,
sure.
You know, it's not like there was, you know, a scene or a whole lot of people to work with.
I mean, how far from Seattle were you? How far from Seattle is that?
As the crow flies, I think it's like 60 miles.
So.
But you've got to take a boat or drive around down, you know, cross the Hood Canal Bridge around through, if you know the area, Tacoma,
yeah.
Gorse to the Narrows, and then come up I-5.
Okay, so you were closer to Tacoma.
Yeah.
Then, oh, are you up by like Vaughan, Washington and shit? Is that where that is?
No.
Isn't Vaughan out on the peninsula somewhere, that air fire? I went out and did some crazy show out in the sticks out there.
I don't know exactly where Vaughan is at, now, to be perfectly honest.
It's about 20 minutes east, 25, 30 minutes east of Tacoma on the peninsula. Somewhere
east of Tacoma. That might be a different peninsula. There's the Quimper Peninsula. There's the Kitsap Peninsula.
Yeah, it's yeah.
There's
it's
the Olympic Peninsula.
It's like the farthest south point of the sound, I think I was told.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would be, so that'd be like 6 o'clock on Puget Sound.
Okay.
I'd be right up at like 11:30.
God, all right. You're on the, okay, now I'm getting a better picture. Now the whole area is so weird because you know, you hit the coast. It's like, well, kind of. If you go down and around for 3 hours, you'll have a whole other part of the state you can get.
Oh, they call the coast 3 hours from the actual, like, Pacific Ocean shoreline.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
You hit water, but it's not really the coast.
Right.
You know, it's a weird, I mean, I guess spirit of the law, letter of the law. I'm not sure how we're defining it. But yeah, so, okay. So you were closer to Tacoma, though, than you were Seattle. Is that, or, well, I guess not, huh? No.
Yeah,
still,
I mean, you'd have to go through Tacoma to get to Seattle, but when you're where I was, it's basically the same thing.
Didn't mean the same. So was there any type of music scene in Tacoma or anything that you were able to latch on to?
I'm sure there probably was.
You just,
but
not what you were doing.
Wasn't there.
Wasn't for what you were doing, huh?
No.
I
spent most of my life on foot out there.
Okay. So, yeah, it was just very much just...
Tacoma was like an actual city, like Port Townsend is a town of like 7,000 or something like that.
Okay.
Like, you know, I always felt like I was at a disadvantage because, you know, like here in Spokane, there's places you could go, like if you were a kid, I guess all ages venue. That's that whole idea of an all ages venue was foreign to me.
Yeah.
I couldn't go like hang out outside a club and listen or...
probably just weren't a ton of venues, period.
Yeah,
so,
no.
Yeah.
No, sidewalks
like
roll up at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Like there was a Legion Hall where shows happened a couple times a year, but nothing like regular. Like I could go hang out and these are where the musicians are going to be. And,
sure.
And nothing like that.
Yeah. And then if you're, like you said, if you're on foot, it's kind of impossible to get to do much. So what brought you to the point of making your first album then? 2001, you're talking, God, almost 20 years ago now. That's crazy to think about.
Back in my day.
Yeah, no shit. Before, was this, yeah, pre however many wars we're in now.
Right. Right.
Well, yeah, we still have the towers. You're living in Port Townsend.
Pre-social media, pre-MySpace.
Yeah, pre-MySpace, pre-LinkedIn.
Before you could just upload your songs and put a link on somebody's page.
Right, in 3 seconds.
Right.
You know, you're doing AOL discs for fucking, you know, that takes 3 hours just to get a grainy picture of Pamela Anderson half naked.
Yep.
Which was worth it.
Absolutely. No, I was doing a lot of writing and I was doing a lot of drugs and I was trying to find a constructive way to manage my energies and my childhood baggage. Why am I speaking so diplomatically?
yeah, you can say it however you want, man. It's,
right.
the shit I say, believe me, there's no alarming anyone with up to the shit I say.
Right. Well, yeah, I was in and around a lot of trouble, and I was trying to stay out of trouble but still stay involved with my people. And
sure.
And people would get off to their various activities, and I would pull out a notebook.
Okay.
And yeah, and I spent some time in and out of the county jail, and I would write there. And I started writing probably 98, 99, and then one day Robert, I hadn't seen in a long time, my friend Robert Keyes, I'm a producer that I'd followed over here, he picked me up hitchhiking one day.
Okay.
And put a CD in. He's like, hey, I did this for, you know, homeboy off his McDonald's paycheck. And it blew my mind.
Really?
I was like...
So you could, like, it was one paycheck, able to put together a whole...
Well,
whole I mean...
Yeah, a series of checks, but...
Sure, sure,
you know,
sure, sure, sure.
Small
sure.
town economy, whatever.
Yeah.
but it was a very good sounding CD.
Okay.
It was very well put together, and because this was before like everything was prosumer, you could just go and everyone didn't have a studio in their bedroom,
yeah.
And everyone didn't have recording software. Well, maybe they did. I don't know. I was in a quasi rural area.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, I think no. You're right. It was very. Now it's accessible. You can essentially make an album on your iPhone.
We are living in a totally different time.
Yeah, I mean, if you have an iPhone, you can make beats, you can probably record it, and then film the music video and put it all out on your social media page all inside of a day.
Absolutely.
You know?
and he, Robert was like the mad scientist guy. He got audio magazines, and he devoured all the articles, and he built his own gear, and he was that guy. He was the mad tinkerer.
Yeah.
And I my mind was blown because it made everything accessible. You know, like Ryan did this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, small town. Like this is Ryan, and you did. He wrote this. You did. You guys made this. And he said, yeah, you know, whatever. Do music, and it's like, wow.
That's kind of when it opened up. For
yeah.
You
know, he opened his door to me, and I was like, well, I've kind of been writing, you know, trying to process life.
Sure.
And he said, if you want to come, you know, try something out. Absolutely be happy to have you over, and just kind of progressed from there.
So when you started doing music, were you were specifically looking at doing hip-hop music then?
Yeah, but a very specific kind. Like I grew up with Rage Against the Machine, and
sure, yeah,
and I'm from that era, and I always you remember the Judgment Night soundtrack?
I remember, yeah, kind of.
Remember the movie Judgment Night?
Yeah, I don't remember. Oh, God.
Okay, so that soundtrack.
I also was doing a lot of drugs at that time.
Yes. Cheers. Ole!
So there's a whole gap of, like, I remember those things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those being in existence. I don't remember a lot of the details.
Right, so the pretty much, like, I was a headbanger. Total, okay. Like, metalhead headbanger. I grew up 60 miles outside of Seattle in the early 90s.
Sure, so that whole grunge. Yeah.
What am I
yeah.
holding in my hand right now?
Yeah.
A red and black flannel.
That's, yeah.
Anyways.
The look, it does. The look is very indicative of, yeah, it shows.
So, and I was really into underground hip-hop, really hardcore stuff. And, you know, Aerosmith and Run DMC did the first collaboration, yeah. And Anthrax and Public Enemy did the second one. My bad.
Oh, you're right.
And then the Judgment Night soundtrack came out in the 90s, and that took a whole bunch of hip-hop artists and matched them up with heavy metal artists, mm-hmm. and you get things like Ice-T and Slayer doing a song.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill doing a song. Helmet and House of Pain doing a song. The Spawn soundtrack did it a couple years later, and that was great, too. But
Ice Cube did some really cool stuff with Korn.
Yes.
Too,
yes.
Which was really interesting, like the late 90s probably,
mm-hmm.
like probably something like that,
mm-hmm.
97, 99, somewhere in there.
Mm. And a lot of people have some really strong opinions about that intersection of metal and hip-hop.
Sure.
It can be really, really great, or it can be not really great. And
I think they're both probably right, depending
right.
on who's doing it. Yeah, that's,
yeah.
Yeah, and that like, it's interesting because that really spawned like a whole new genre of, you know, brought out things like Limp Bizkit,
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature, which are very, very rock heavy but also very hip-hop heavy, and I'm probably missing a whole bunch of other bands in that genre, the kind of genre, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that came out with that, you know, hip-hop rock, and I think it really helped because, I mean, I grew up in LA in the 80s. I grew up in South Central and, you know, fucking grew up in the hip hop, and that's my music. I didn't really get exposed to anything else except for oldies until I was much older in life, like really any other type of music. Watching it, it was interesting to watch it grow in that time frame because I think it really helped push the genre of hip hop beyond. Force them to grow a little bit too, you know. You know, you push out these guys who are going to get a little more rock. Like, I don't think you could have had a guy like, a crazy like guy like B.O.B. come out eventually, who plays the guitar and the piano and has weird rock and synth stuff too, and you know, is really
right.
guitar heavy songs that, even acoustic guitar heavy songs, you know, that you wouldn't have had without that mashup.
Absolutely.
So what were some of your early kind of inspirations for music, not just hip hop, but also just in general? I mean, you said grunge, punk, that, you know, that type of thing. You said that music, but like hip hop wise, or some of the early ones you listened to a lot?
Well, I didn't like listen to hip hop for a while, you know, like back in the day when I was a kid, rap was the thing that people that beat me up in high school listened to. Right. So, I first started, oh God, I'm old. The first rap album I really, really listened to was Dr. Dre's The Chronic.
Okay.
And, you know, it just kind of progressed and just West Coast stuff from there. Like, now that I look back, we were listening in this small town way up almost by Canada. We were listening to way more underground West Coast hip hop than that. Like, somebody's brother must have had a pipeline. I have no idea, because we were listening to stuff in high school like Mac Maul, E-40, way back in the day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like early 90s.
Sure.
I don't know how his stuff, or like, you know, some of the stuff we were listening to, I don't know how it got there, because it wasn't like in the store.
Wasn't ubiquitous. Right. Yeah, like Spice One, stuff like that, maybe.
Yep,
all right,
yep.
Yeah. You know, it's actually a lot of that Bay Area stuff really infiltrated the Northwest somehow. Yeah, Mac Maul, Mac Dre, E-40, Spice One, Too Short. So like
people
that
were
stuff.
Listening to Eazy-E and N.W.A., but, you know, and there was a bunch of DJ Quick tapes running around. Like, I don't remember it being like something that was really widespread at that point in time from the media I was consuming.
Sure.
But it was things that people in school had. Like, we'd go to the record store that had a pretty good selection. Or I'd, you know, go to the mall, like in the next town of Silverdale, you'd find, you know, decent size selection with like national chains, and stuff wasn't there at that point in time. But kids in high school had it, in my high school.
Yeah. How old are you, if I may ask?
I am 41 years old.
All right, so not too much of an age gap. I'm knocking on the door 38. So yeah, but I think things also filtered a little different, because I you know, grew up down there, so we were, you know, that stuff was hitting. I mean, I remember like when the first NWA tape like hit the streets in '88, because that's when like my cousins and the friends and people were listening to that, like that early stuff, which was, you know, it was getting sold out of trunks before it was getting sold out of goddamn music stores.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what, I guess, how did you end up gravitating towards hip-hop music with that kind of background? Partly because, like you explained, unable to play an instrument, want to be in a band, but without being exposed to a ton of hip-hop, what kind of made that the avenue in like inspiration to go to think that was a viable path? I just liked it.
Yeah. I was a fan. I think that's why everyone gets started doing everything, because you are a fan of it and you enjoy it and it means something to you and you want to do it too. For whatever reason, expression, or just, you know, to be a part of, you know, I didn't like set out to accomplish anything. I set out to have fun and make something that my friends would enjoy.
Sure.
So I like, if I could make my town listen, then that was going to be good enough for
that
me.
That was something.
Yeah.
How successful was the first album
In my town?
On any level. I mean, obviously, you know, you probably, you know, didn't break top 100 on the Billboard, but you're out there doing it. You put an album out. What happened with the first album?
In my town, it was kind of like disbelief.
Yeah,
like this exists. you did this. It's very specific. It's like an industrial noise. I was listening to a lot of like very hardcore underground hip hop. Like Insane Clown Posse.
Sure.
Brought out an artist called Twisted.
Okay. Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Remember
and
that?
Yeah. When they came out, they did a song on one of their first albums called Secondhand Smoke, and it was. It was outside like anything I'd ever heard in hip hop. I was like, I didn't know that it could be done like that.
Sure.
That was probably what said. I didn't know it could be done like that. And if it can be done like that, then I want to do it too. Because that feels like what I would do more. Because I grew up at the corner of Deep Forest and Mountain Range in a small town. I'm definitely not going to come out talking about any kind of hood stuff, or I grew up poor and I'm not talking about having, I enjoy that kind of music, but sure. It's nothing that I identified with or
can't
had
relate
lived
to.
Or experienced. You know, I'm definitely not going to be like talking gang shit because for obvious reasons, but I come from a rock and metal background, and there was enough stuff out there that I could, you know, a lot of those elements match up with each other. Like we were just talking, you know, there's elements of hip hop and elements of rock and metal that go very well together.
Yeah.
And that had been out there. And I'd already... It was like getting slapped. It was like a light going off. I had literally nothing else to do in life. And I was in and out of jail. And I was around people that were getting in lots of trouble. And it was probably a matter of time till I got in a lot of trouble. And, you know, I was looking for something to do that would be somewhat positive and constructive, even though with those early recordings there's absolutely nothing socially redeemable about any of it.
You still listen back ever?
Occasionally.
You still got copies?
Oh,
are they on the web?
I it's out there. Like I don't press CDs of that anymore. Like the
sure.
CD I brought to you has pieces off all five of my releases. It's
okay.
It's not all terribly listenable stuff to me. I mean, you know, like the execution isn't good. A lot of it was done under the influence. I personally don't think that I can match that old lyricism, but the delivery, the execution, extremely soaked and saturated in drug use.
So, well, that is an inspiration at times in you know. Oftentimes, unfortunately, drugs and music just go together so well.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah.
Like root beer and vanilla.
There's something about it. You know, listen, Hendrix had it right, man. You know, these guys, Lennon, any of them, they're great for a reason.
I sit there and everything Bill Hicks ever said about music and drugs is absolutely the God's honest truth.
Yeah. It just makes sense. And it's, well, I mean, really. And not that I've always said I cannot. I mean, I don't do. I gave it up for the better. I gave up all the. Well, I do mushrooms a lot, but beyond that, I gave everything else up. Drinking, smoking weed, everything else. And I just I can never perform well in inebriated anyway. But I certainly came up with some interesting stuff along the way, inebriated. That's for sure. These guys who like, you know, these. And like Ray Charles having a goddamn just being a raging heroin addict the entire time and rocking out on the piano and just crushing it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, like how the fuck did you I can't play the piano stone cold sober and you are blasted out of your mind on heroin, like should just be puking in a park passed out. And just like constantly and just crush, and it's just so weird that these, you know, and there's something about music and drugs, especially heroin.
When you're so good at something and so experienced, though, to where you could do it in your sleep or it's second nature.
That's, yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're just like a fucking 50th degree grandmaster black belt at the piano.
Sure. Again,
the fuck's a couple grams of black tar, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you just kind of, you're like, fuck it, I'll just go for it. I don't care. And like, you know, also, if you're Ray Charles, though, and you're that good, yeah, like you said, you just kind of start, you know, and you're kind of bluesy, jazzy, you can just kind of start going and hearing it and feeling it, and it's going to sound good. You're just going to, it may not be the song you were playing anymore, but people are going to love it because it's going to fucking sound good. You know, you're going to be able to blast out something that seems pretty great.
Fish?
So, yeah, 3-hour jam
song. I mean, highly functional addiction is a thing.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, it does exist.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I drank every single day for 20-plus years and was very good at it and very good at accomplishing things in my day-to-day life. Very driven, very able to do everything. And I was like... It's a true thing. You can really still accomplish everything.
Yep.
So the original, I'm interested in this original CD.
I've got a copy, a physical copy of every album that I've, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got, you know, they're sitting at home, but I don't produce them to like,
it's,
I
mean, sell it. Yeah.
It's tough these days. So I made like, that's a, like a greatest hits, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, ha, 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 ha. I think it's my most presentable stuff that also has like, they're all different in a way that it's a pretty good look across the board at like the different looks I can give. I think that's pretty all encompassing.
How many years of music are we talking from, you know, if it's the stuff from your first CD off this also?
No. Okay. That only goes back to 2010.
2010?
Yeah.
It's still 10 fucking years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of change, a lot of, you know, life changes, yeah. Music changes.
There's nothing on there from the first or second project that pulls, I think there's one song on there from the fifth one, but that pulls pretty heavily from the third and fourth releases.
So lyrically, you said you're earlier, you think you're better lyrically. Do you mean your content or your delivery or both?
Complexity.
Okay.
Delivery to me is like, you know, the actual how it comes out of your mouth.
Okay. Yeah.
And content is subjective, but when you talk about like rhyme schemes and you know, being intricate, and I would definitely say that, and there might be something to the drugs.
it does, but open up, yeah, creates certain bridges.
And I've asked people that, you know, have listened to me for a long time, you know, and friends. I've tried to get outside opinions, and not everyone agrees with me. I personally, and we're always our own worst critics, I personally think that I am lately have not matched like the complexity and execution of the earlier stuff.
I think it's interesting. You're right. A good artist is always their own worst critic. There's Sophie will attest to this. There's people who do comedy in town who are basically just open micers. You know, they hit open mics. They're not working. Probably won't ever work. And you know, the people who like do an open mic and then stand outside and be like, yeah, dude, that was probably like a 9 or something. I'm like, yeah, dude, you're never going to make it. You got to, like,
might be a 9 for you.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I'm glad you achieved a 9. Yeah.
Out of how many?
100.
Like, yeah. They, you know, I mean, I have been doing the comedy for a long time. I've done, like, theaters in front of, like, so, you know, where you're, like, 700 people, you're doing shows in front of. And, like, I've always come off being like, oh man, this could have been better. That, like, it's never fucking good enough. It's never good enough. And, you know, people be like, oh no, it's a great set. I'm like, nah, this, or you like, to you, it's off. To other people, just like, especially if they've never seen you or heard you before, like, that's, they don't know that maybe it's better, or maybe they could hear it the other way and wouldn't know the difference.
They don't know. And here's something I figured out too. I've done a lot of shows over the years.
Yeah.
And Methuselah and rap years. It's only half a joke. They don't know unless you react to your own mess up generally.
Well, that,
I mean,
yeah.
If you totally, like, if I shit out and drop a whole verse, they know.
Sure.
But if I skip a word or there's, you know, a stumble but I recover, most times they don't know.
Yeah,
unless
no clue.
You give them the tip off or you point it out to them, like you said, when they say, oh, yeah, you're like, oh, well, blah, blah. They're like, no.
Yeah,
most of the time, like, no, I didn't. No. No.
Yeah. It could be that, you know, you're your own worst critic, but also as you grow as an artist, you're finding different content, and the way you're delivering it is different. And, you know, I mean, like, I look at someone like Eminem, who's had like a really long storied career and gone through many different phases in his career. I think he went through a time where, like, the depth, after he kind of went away for a while and came back, the depth of his content was like way deeper, but his complexity and like rhyme scheme wasn't quite as good as it had been. And then he kind of went back to just being, now he's almost back to like this crazy battle rapping, just like probably lyrically, like as a from a pure lyricist level, probably lyrically the best he's ever been. The content may not be as deep, but his like lyrical rhyme schemes are absolutely fucking off the charts now, you know. And it's like it's just these different levels of what you're doing and how you're feeling and what's
I personally agree, and I think he heard the criticism and took it personally. He went to, you know, from a hungry kid to on top of the world to I don't have anything that I need or want anymore. I have it all.
Yeah.
To he got the chip back on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He felt like he had something to prove again. Now he's out there because he went from proving to the world to I own the world to I fell off. I got something to prove again.
Right.
That's what I think. I think the fire is currently lit and underneath him again.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's a guy, I don't know if you know who Willie Woo Sticks is, local. He does.
I know who he is. I don't personally like know him.
Okay. Yeah, he was on the show a couple weeks ago. Been on a couple times. I like him a lot. We talk hip hop. He's a kind of a actually similar. He does some hip hop lyrics in a band that's kind of rock hip hop inspired also.
Free the Jester.
Yeah, Free the Jester. Yeah. And then he's releasing his own solo hip hop album. But yeah, we were discussing kind of that process and how you know, really Eminem personally in my opinion now. I mean, I still think his first official album, the Slim Shady LP, mm-hmm. is his best album ever. That's the one I like the most. I listen to the most.
That is also the one I prefer.
Yeah, like everyone loves the Marshall Mathers LP, and that's actually arguably possibly my least favorite album of his, or the one I listen to the least probably.
I would say that it's hard for me to pick a clear favorite between those two. That's definitely like my favorite era. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not sitting in any position to criticize Eminem in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, some people like anchovies on their pizza.
Yeah.
Some I personally don't like anchovies. And you know, I like earlier Eminem. That's not to say – I like the stuff he's done most recently.
That, yeah, again,
better
yeah,
than
most,
the mid-level, of
yeah.
the mid-stage of his career. But what was it Encore?
On, yeah.
Was the first one with the with the red curtain?
Yeah, that was his third CD.
Till I Collapse?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's fire, too.
That's a great album,
that's
too.
That's fire,
I think that's
too.
A great album. And actually, I think, although it has a lot of, it's mired with a lot of really terrible songs, because he had, like, there's what I call fuck you money, where I like I can do whatever I want, mm-hmm. fuck you, mm-hmm. and then there's what I call fuck me money, where you have so much money you'll fuck yourself, you don't even care.
Yeah.
And I think on the Eminem show he got the fuck me money, and he was doing songs like Big Weenie and stuff like that. But on the Eminem show, I think there's a couple really great songs, like gems. There's like five gems, and then just a lot of just hot garbage on that CD. On that was the one he did right before he kind of disappeared for a decade or whatever the fuck.
Right.
But speaking of Eminem, what greatest of all time, dead or alive, hip hop artist? Who do you got? Who's on your? Let's go. Let's go. Why don't you give us your Mount Rushmore and who's number one though?
Oh god damn, Rushmore. That's five, right?
I think so.
Okay. See, because there's so many.
Four, three. How many?
Four.
Sophie, four. Thanks, Sophie.
So. Because
I could be wrong.
Because I grew up in America.
Yeah, I know, right?
So it's like, what are you?
It's purely subjective.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, because what are you talking about? Like, are you talking about like people don't want it? You can't like best. That doesn't just purely mean sales.
No, well, no. Best
because like I can divorce best, I think, and favorite. And I don't. I think that's two different things.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
I like certain artists a lot. That I like a lot. They might be my personal favorite. Mm. One of my personal top four or five. But I don't think they're going like on a Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
So
all right. So let's go. Who's your personal favorite top three? Let's start there. Let's go top three personal favorites. You know.
I'm gonna try and cut a mid ground here because you can't. You can't not talk about success.
Sure.
Just but you know, sales aren't everything. But you can't, if you're talking about a Mount Rushmore, you can't not take success into account. But, you know, artistry, impact, longevity, I mean...
There's a lot of... It's a complicated algorithm. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a one-in-one.
So I'm going to say that you can't do a top four without Eminem.
I agree.
You can't. He checks to all those categories, you know, like if it's a role-playing game, he's got tens on every stamina.
Yeah.
You know, everything. You can't... Yeah. I got to put Tupac on there.
Okay.
Like, what was the stat? How many unrecorded songs did he have?
Oh, it was like hundreds. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. Like, he's still releasing albums. Yeah. He's been dead since 06 or 96.
Again,
I mean,
impact and influence.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you can't not put Tupac on there.
Sure.
I'd almost want to put Biggie on there.
Okay.
But. The only reason I wouldn't put him on there is because his life was cut so short.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, not that he didn't have the impact or the influence or he's not one of my favorites, but I think the farther away we get from that era, that kind of criteria is not favoring him as much as it is Tupac.
You know what? Willie said something interesting when we talked about it, because he's from New York, and I did this... music, because he does a lot of types of music. So I did this breakdown of like different artists, and I had him made him pick one of each. He had to pick one. He's like, one goes away forever. The other one you can still listen to. The other artist, the one you don't pick, goes away forever. Never gonna hear the shit again.
Oh, that's great.
And I put Biggie against Tupac, and he took Tupac, and I would too. I'm not a huge Biggie fan, and. One thing he said about Biggie that really hit me, I never thought of it. He goes, Biggie never rapped about anything positive. I'm like, oh, all right. I go, I go, that's very true. I go, you know,
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I'd never thought about that either. And I'm like, I'm not a huge Biggie fan. There's a couple songs I like. Overall, I think he's kind of overrated, especially because, like, I always say this. I'm like, if you like Biggie, just go listen to Ice Cube. I think Ice Cube's a better rapper. I think he has some originality. His early Cube's like first four albums are fucking still bangers to me.
Yeah, no.
I think he loses it a lot in the middle.
Right.
And then he kind of came back and then he kind of lost it again. But
I don't think you can fuck with anything Biggie did. But, you know, like I said, the farther away we get from that time, I think that, you know, in 2005, can we talk about Biggie being one of the greatest of all time? He's still one of the greatest of all time, but can we put him on, like, you're going to narrow it down to four or five in a Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
In 2005, we can absolutely have Biggie in that conversation.
Sure.
In 2020?
Yeah.
and I've got, I love Biggie, like, a lot.
Sure, all right.
But
I mean, I get.
I'm trying to divorce, like, emotion and personal preference here.
Yeah.
I personally like Jay-Z is not one of my favorites.
Okay. I think I like a lot of Jay-Z's stuff, but I think he's got a lot of bad also. I think he's overrated for sure. I think some of his good's really good. I think some of his bad's really bad. He's got a big catalog. So it's like you're kind of – it's like the Star Wars movies. Like when the original trilogy is really good, and then the second trilogy, like the prequels are really bad. And then I'm like, all right, dude, you're 50-50 now. Like if you start making more movies, it's going to go one direction. It's going to tip the scales either to more bad than good or more good than bad.
But he's got a bunch of unfuckwithable shit too.
Well, that's what I mean. There's some that's just fire and then some that's you're like, I don't ever want to listen to this album again.
I think he's got to be a goat. I don't know. Like, entrepreneurial, like business.
Yeah.
I'm gonna and this is gonna be seen as like cliche or whack by a lot of people, but I gotta put Tech N9ne on there.
All right. I mean, I appreciate it's a different kind of hustle, but he's got one corner just locked down.
And himself,
lyrically the guy's phenomenal.
By himself, go back and check like what he's done, like from a entrepreneurial standpoint, the money he's made. I think he's got the record for all-time top 10 albums as a Billboard hip-hop artist.
Really?
Having never been pushed by corporate America, never been on the radio and MTV, you know.
And he's been around a long time. Like,
he checks all those boxes, complexity, storytelling, punchlines, emotion. I mean, to me, I've got to put him on. And that dude's not done yet either.
Yeah, he's got a lot. He's got a lot of career. He's just, he's still just crushing it. That guy might be the hardest working guy in hip hop too. He is out there just on the road, like every time he's just on tour perpetually. He doesn't have a home. He must live out of his tour bus. Like he's got to just be on the road.
Oh man, he was in Spokane like 5-6 times a year. 2005 to 10.
He's still here like twice a year. He just crushes. I'm sure he just sells the fuck out everywhere.
You go back and check Polestar numbers. He's selling more tickets. He's got a higher sellout percentage than most people.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. What was that? Let's see. Eminem, Tupac, Tech.
Biggie, Tech. Any honorable mentions? Anyone else? And you got?
But it's this
like,
is,
what do you like? Nas or anything like that?
Oh
or,
man! Yeah. See, I'm a West Coast kid.
Okay, see, I can respect that. See, I'm the same. I grew up in the West. You know, that's my thing.
Like I love Eazy-E. I can't put him anywhere near this list, but I love Eazy-E. Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of this last week for listening to old Eazy-E.
Yeah, I still. It's his first album. Eazy Does It is pretty much stays in my CD changer.
I'm gonna sidebar this, and I'm gonna put a group on the last spot for Rushmore.
Okay,
I'm gonna put Wu-Tang up.
That's good. All right. Yeah, who's the best in Wu-Tang?
Subjective.
Yeah,
you know, subjective. I personally think my favorite's probably Method Man.
Okay,
like I'd listen to Method Man read the phone book.
His
voice, and I'm a big Method Man guy.
I get it. It's hard. Method Man's great. I dig some Ghostface or some Raekwon.
Most people would say Ghostface is the best.
That fucking Fish Scale album is about.
I think GZA is underrated too.
Liquid Swords, man. Yep. Great album.
Yep. Genius. I'm a Grave Diggers guy.
Yeah, man.
I still listen to Grave Diggers.
1-800 Suicide is on one of my workout playlists.
I keep 6 feet. I keep 6 feet deep on it's on my flash drive in my car right now.
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't listening to it as I pull up, but it's in the flash drive that's in my car. I keep that in constant rotation.
Great, great album. And not. I feel like that's not really well known either. It doesn't get a lot of, But I mean, there's so much early kind of tangentially related Wu-Tang stuff. That's what, you know.
Oh, it spirals off forever with Killer Bees and side projects
and a million things. Like everyone's a Wu-Tang member. I think I got a card in the mail. Like, you're in Wu-Tang now.
Oh.
Fucking sweet.
I wish.
Yeah. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang is for the children.
I don't want to leave a hip hop conversation without talking about the Ghetto Boys.
Ooh, all right. Mm. Yeah.
Just that's all I want to say. Ghetto Boys. Enough said.
Ghetto Boys, yeah. Bushwick Bill.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Crazy little one-eyed midget. I was a psychopath.
Yeah.
How did he die again? Did he die? Was it some crazy story how he died? Or was it? He seems like he has
no,
to have
a, he got sick. I mean, he just passed a couple years ago, too. What did he have?
Well, he literally had like a. Do you know anything about this guy, Sophie? You know Bishop Bill? He was a midget, and he like had a glass eye, and like it was crazy.
Well, I believe his girlfriend shot him, and that's where that album cover came. Shot him. That's where the album cover came from. Is he's getting wheeled into the emergency room?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Oh God, yeah, I think shit was wild back then. It wasn't this, you know, these guys now that are all polished and, you know, Lil Xanny and all this whatever the fuck these people are. All right. I think I'm going to, while you're looking that up, I want to play one.
Pancreatic cancer. Same thing that got Bill Hicks.
Oh, man.
That's like a death sentence. Mm-hmm. Pancreatic cancer is one of the worst cancers you can get.
It's fucking rough, dude. All the drugs and all the drugs and drinking, man. That'll do it. It's
Alex Trebek has it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's a drug addict. Heard it here, dropping punches. Alex Trebek. also loves Thai ladyboys. I don't know that. I get sued. I'm going to cease and desist lawyer from fucking from CBS to whoever carries Viacom. I don't know. Whoever carries fucking the Jeopardy. Let's take a listen to one of your songs here. Okay, we've got it's the anthology EP. That's what I've got in my hand here. We've got a couple of them on SoundCloud up. Which one should we take a listen to?
Let's go for Can't Count the Demons.
The first track.
An ode to chemically induced psychosis.
All right, we're going to take a listen to Can't Count the Demons by Knothead. And you can find this on SoundCloud/KnotheadMusic. We'll have a link in the comments with the link in with the episode when it comes out too. But take a listen, guys.
And the cries of the voices in disguise. Out of choices, no replies. Now I wanna scream and pull out my own eyes. Must devise my goodbyes, cause I might go insane, and you all know what that implies. Count the demons eating me inside. They creep inside my mind, sharp with teeth through my spine. You're free to try to free me by any means that you can find. I can't see if this is just a dream or if it's real life. I can't count the many demons that are eating me inside. They creep inside my mind, sharp with teeth through my spine. You're free to try to free me by any means that you can find. All I need is a single angel to release my mind. Not his back, like Mike Tyson on Parolo, yeah. Just like that, I'm fighting mad and biting hoses, striking foes upside the nose till eyes are closer, rhymes and flows that dive as though, cause I compose the tightest rhymes and righteous prose. I come from the mountains, deep within the trees, so delirious from fever, beaten down with disease, squeezing back the tears like I cannot feel the pain, bleeding out my eyes, diseases leaking from my brain, as I scream out in pain, it's plain to see, not at my best, until coherent thought and reason leap, I will not crest, achieve my mid-season form, I make the post-season plays, like Akeem Olajuwon would beat on Shaq back in the day, leave him gasping with pain on his ass in the lane, feeling like I feel peeling scabs to entertain, bleeding black like the rain from the back of my brain, and when it hits my spine it burns, sulfuric acid in my veins. I can't count the demons eating me inside, they creep inside my mind, sharp with teeth through my spine, you're free to try to free me by any means that you can find, I can't see if this is just a dream or if it's real life, I can't count the many demons that are eating me inside, they creep inside my mind, sharp with teeth through my spine, you're free to try to free me by any means that you can find, all I need is a single angel to release my mind.
Listen to another one of these songs, though. Which should we listen to, this one or a
sure.
different one?
Hit it.
All right, let's just keep going.
Gina, I love you and I hate you. I'd love to finally break you, but what do I say to
Tina? Did Tina exist? Tina person or metaphor? And what do is Tina drugs? Tina's drugs.
But I'm a slave to you, so I take another hit and inhale you.
There you go.
You know I love you, Tina, you dirty little bitch. I love the way you make me feel, your name just makes me twitch. It's like the thirst cannot be quenched, no, will it totally relent. So seductive and euphoric and orgasmic is your clench. With your naughty bag of tricks and your frosty breath and lips, you always seem to find your way inside my head, and then that's it. And you take every thought and twist it
enough, sadistic little bitch enough. I'm tired of all your plots and schemes and how I let you trip me up. I've had enough, but it's like my hands are cuffed. Used to be strong and tough, now my willpower is not enough. You're my crutch, I'm addicted to you once again. I love you, Tina, I feel like you're my only friend. It's you and me, now together to the very end. All that's left to do is leave my family, wife, life, and friends. Sometimes I feel like I left them long before, because my heart has always been with you, you dirty little whore. Tina, I love you, and I hate you. I'd love to finally break you, but what do I say to the voice that drives me to take you? And what do I do when my blood is bubbling and boiling? Tina, I hate you, but I'm a slave to you, so I take another hit and inhale you. Well, here we are again, Tina, and nothing's changed. You're the same bitch you ever were, still totally insane. I'm a little more deranged, I still suffer
you
from
ever listen
pain.
To I Yellow
inflicted
Wolf?
On myself, I guess that everything's the same, and I can hear the voices praying of the people.
Like there's some parallels
the
there with like a kind of
demons
backwards.
Tragically, I cannot flee catastrophe. They're cackling so dastardly, they even made the pastor scream.
And it's kind of like almost all the country feel like some of their albums
that everything I've done won't be relived by my descendants. Fake my friends and family for their forgiveness. My repentance must be cover my beliefs and all my major moral tenets. So I pick up all the remnants and just try to move forward. Feels like I'm drowning, still I try to swim shoreward. Memories won't leave, so every day and night I'm tortured. Locked inside the prison, I myself am brick and mortar. I love you and I hate you. I'd love to finally break you, but what do I say to the voice that drives me to take you? And what do I do when my blood is bubbling and boiling? Tina, I hate you, but I'm a slave to you, so I take another hit and inhale you. I love you, and I hate you. I'd love to finally break you, but what do I say to the voice that drives me to take you? And what do I do when my blood is bubbling and boiling? Tina, I hate you, but I'm a slave to you, so I take another hit and inhale you.
All right. I dig it, man. The you can definitely tell that that first album, that first song had like almost like a little bit of like Body Count feel, like the old Ice-T Body
Count.
Yeah,
buddy, I'll take it.
Yeah, man.
All day long. That's where I came from. I had a buddy who I have a buddy who's pretty deep in the music industry, and he gave me a favorable comparison. And he compared me to a guy that I really like, and he said, "You guys are kind of like the same. You know, you're not rappers, you're rock stars who rap." And I'm like, "Yeah, I like
there
that.
There you go. That's a good way to look at
it. I will take it all day long."
Do you want to tell us who he compared you to?
It makes me feel funny. Because I look up to him so much. He compared me to a guy named Prozac on Tech N9ne's label.
Okay, I'm not familiar, but okay.
Dude, Prozac is unbelievable. He's dark and frightening and political and emotional and paranormal and social commentary. And he calls himself the Hitchcock of hip-hop. If there is a Alfred Hitchcock and an Edgar Allan Poe in hip-hop, it is Prozac.
I'm going to have to look him up. I'm always looking for new music. I don't know how people find new music anymore, so that's one thing I usually ask musicians.
I will bury you in
links. I'll check it out. I love music, and I don't know how to consume. I don't know where to find new music.
I will bury you in links. I'll send you a dozen Prozac videos.
All right. I look forward to it. So, guys, you can find Steve Knothead. Performs Knothead. Find Knothead at on the 26th at Castle House in CDA with Coaster. That's in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. If you guys were within the reach of where we record this in Spokane, Washington, go to the Castle House in Coeur d'Alene on April 26th or April 30th at the Pin with Mac Lethal. That's going to be a big show. That shit like that's going to sell out. So get your tickets now, early, $20 in advance or $25 at the door if you're lucky enough to be able to get a ticket at the door.
Hit me up on social media. I will deliver it to you in the Spokane area. I will hand deliver you.
There you go.
I'll get a free sticker and a free CD too with every ticket purchase.
And tell them you heard it here. So Mac Lethal, I want to talk about that. We're going to get in the news in a second, but I want to talk about that. You said you've worked with Mac Lethal a couple times now.
Yeah, I did. I did a song with him and another one of my favorite rappers, Mac is, but also Dirtbag Dan. As I'm a pretty big battle rap fan. I'm like the biggest casual battle rap fan.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a huge fan, but I'm not like super like. Super geek about it. Sure. Like I'm a geek about it, but I won't like go online and like argue with people for hundreds of thousands of comments like a lot of people will. I like lyricism. I like to laugh. There's a lot of jokes and a lot of punchlines. And yeah. I like battle rap. And Dirtbag Dan is my favorite battle rapper of all time. And I did a song with him and Mac in 2010.
All right. Is there something we can what's the name of the song?
Tear It All Down. It's on my Bandcamp, nothidmusic.bandcamp.com. I used to have a video up on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/nothidtv. I should put that back up. I got a bunch of stuff that I haven't populated over to my new channel. I'm really slacking on that.
Social media is a bitch. It's such a pain in the ass to keep up on and get it. It's like, it is one of the things that I wish I was at a point in my career where I could just pay someone to do it because I don't want to do it, but you have to, and you just put shit up all the time. It's a pain in the ass.
Like Patton Oswalt said, pick one or two. Do that.
Just go for them
and tell people that's where you're going to be. It turns into a whole nother job. You can't.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
I manage everything that I have, and I try to like. Obviously, I'll make show announcements on everything, but I try to switch it up a little bit. You know, on my like page, I do something different than I do on my personal page on Facebook. I mean, my Twitter account has slightly different content as my Instagram. I mean, I don't want to like
just double. So
no matter where you go, you're going to see the same stuff. I mean, yeah, if I do a video or a song or a show, I'm going to put that on every single one. But I try to modify the experience. Like on my personal page on Facebook, I shoot my mouth off. Alienate some people. On my like page, it's lots of memes and jokes, funny things.
Right.
On Twitter is whatever's got me tickled at the time.
In 140 characters or less.
Yeah, I do probably neglect my Instagram and my YouTube, but it is what it is. I got things I need to do.
You can only do so much, man.
Right.
Well, guys, go check him out on the 26th if you're in the area at the Castle House in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or the 30th at the Pin with Mac Lethal. Again, I think I'm going to try and come to that show. I don't think everything going on. Let's see. Sophie, are you ready to get into the news?
Uh-huh.
Are you ready to talk?
Uh-huh.
You've been so quiet.
I'm so hungover.
Are you still?
I'm feeling better. I slept for like 11 hours.
Jesus, okay. All right, let's get into the news with Sophie.
And now, the Social Hour News with Sophie Tomey.
Did you see the news this week? Yeah, neither did I. It's definitely not because we were drinking and getting high. All the stuff on TV is the same shit, but on a different day. So I found some interesting stories to talk about today. Accuracy not guaranteed, little disclaimer. Guaranteed is news with a little Sophie flavor. So here's the Social Hour News without further ado. Let's get into all the cool stories that I've gathered just for you.
Hey, Sophie's a rapper.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we collab? Like, that's amazing.
Thank you. I always get so embarrassed every time we have like a rapper on here. I'm just like, just look at my phone. Just don't make eye contact till it's over.
No, that was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, get on. I would love to, though.
I mean, I'm a musical person. I'm just very embarrassed about myself in general. So I don't.
Just do it. Go for it.
No, when you do that stuff, it's kind of like walking out there and like just taking like a naked part of yourself and be like, here you go, world.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
Well, she does comedy already, stand up. So, I mean, shit. She's performing.
That's laying yourself bare about as much as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, Sophie, what do you got this week?
I don't remember if I talked about this last week. If I did, I'll just move on to a different one.
Okay.
India resident surprised to find beer, brandy, rum mixture coming out of kitchen faucets.
No, but we didn't how talk do about I that? Get that plumbed into my house?
Well, you just have to live somewhere with horrible water.
Horrible. Wait, this is in India or Indiana?
India.
India.
So,
are you sure it's not just brown water? He's like, this is rum. Like, no, that is sewage. yeah, I'm getting drunk.
Are they fracking over there?
Yeah, I know. It's just some crazy, like, some terrible, like, toxic water. And you're dead. So,
well, the sub headline is, residents in an apartment building in India discovered free mixed drinks on tap in their kitchens earlier this week. Although, not the kind anyone would be hoping for. Because you don't get a pick. So it's a combination.
If you're getting free booze pouring through your kitchen sink, you definitely want to be choosy.
You want to be choosy.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. No, it's
I ordered a screwdriver. What is this? This isn't fucking, what is this, Monarch? This is bullshit.
Yeah, fuck that.
Give me at least Sky or something.
Come on.
I am middle class at least.
Yeah, no, it's a combo platter of beer, brandy, and rum. So
that is a horrible mixture.
It's a horrible
mixture. Wait, what kind of beer? Are we just like a Pilsner, IPA, Porter? That makes a difference.
Okay.
See, that doesn't sound bad to me. I'm thinking some Red Bull or some Curacao and we do it.
Yeah, you can just go for it, man. Yeah, because brandy, rum, those things go. And then beer, depending on the beer, if it's a... most beers, anything but an IPA.
We're halfway to a Long Island iced tea
right
there.
Yeah, man.
The children couldn't go to school and their parents couldn't go to work.
Because they were
fucked up. Yeah. So it was actually because of 6,000 liters of confiscated alcohol that had been seized and buried in a pit nearby.
What?
And then it seeped through the soil into their
That seems
system.
Like a really happy accident.
Yeah.
Why was it stolen? Who steals booze?
Is there prohibition over there? Confiscated and seized and buried?
India. What's happening in India that I don't know? I mean, I guess I don't know their booze situation.
Yeah, it's weird. They don't say what it was like confiscated for.
India doesn't strike me as like a get there. There's listen, when I think Russians, I think getting pretty fucking drunk. When I think India, I don't think. I think like well mannered in like most of them becoming doctors. Like,
yeah.
Like,
well, like I do picture dancing. So
yeah.
You know,
but I mean,
maybe that says I danced yesterday and I drank rum. I don't normally do that. So they say it could take up to a month. And plus, picturing like showering, like just in a sticky, gloopy mixture. But they have been getting 5,000 liters of water. It's not enough to cover all the families in the building. Hmm. Oh, so the state of Kerala has the highest consumption of alcohol in the country,
okay. According
to BBC. So they might be pretty okay with it.
It's a big country. India is a big country, too. That's a lot of fucking booze.
Oh, one of the top comments is kind of funny. The latest news. Men have not been showing up at work recently. They have been calling in sick due to the coronavirus, a mutated version of the coronavirus. It's causing slurred speech, memory loss, and uncontrolled urinating.
This is getting hammered. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter how good of a person and how much you have your shit together. If you have a rum, brandy, beer mixture literally flowing through your faucets at home, you're fucking day drinking. You're getting drunk that day. You are waking up and you're going to be like, I'm going to find out what next week is like today because I'm going to black out for the next fucking 7 days. Yeah. I don't know how long a fortnight is, but I know I'm not going to remember the next one. So.
Oh, my God. Yes. Well... Stupid America. Stuff like that's never going to happen here.
Oh, we have codes and laws.
Yeah. There's more regulations,
right.
Rules and regs. Make sure we don't run into that kind of thing.
Shenanigans.
It does remind me of, I need to bring back or finally get on Shark Tank with one of my inventions. I've got a couple inventions. One of them is one I call Shamboos. This is... You know, like, you know, when you go to like a subpar hotel or like the YMCA or a shower like that, they've got the different, you know, little shooters on the wall of like this one's soap and this one's shampoo and this one's conditioner. Well, it's like that, except they're all different boozes. And I call it Shamboos.
So you can
just, you know, instead of taking your shower beer, you just get hammered in the shower the whole time.
Yeah.
So you can still get clean. and get drunk.
Which
sorry,
is
India.
The best combo.
Which is the best
sorry,
combo.
India. Oh, my God. That's classic.
You wouldn't even have to modify your coffee.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah.
I just
pour right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some Baileys in one of those, a couple shots of that in your coffee.
Off and running.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Or actually, going back to bed, one or the other.
Yeah, bro, definitely not off and driving.
No.
Off and running for sure.
This one is actually, it's not new news. I've kind of heard about it before, but I saw another headline.
The moving pictures.
The moving pictures, yeah.
All the rave across the country.
So true crime fans can now buy unsolved case files and crack murder mysteries.
Jesus. This
sounds
is how
not
desperate
good.
The FBI is. Like, listen, we got other shit to do. You fucking figure out who killed Daisy Fuentes back in 83.
That
we
was really quick
shit.
With the name.
Like, fuck it. We don't need her. Like, you figure it out. You know what they're... Hold on. You know what they're doing, these assholes? They're just making... They're probably just making up case files and trying to pay for their, you know, their retirement fund.
Like,
listen,
like,
we're not...
File.
They're cutting our goddamn budget every year. How do we keep money flowing through this son of a bitch? Well, how about all these psycho, desperate housewives that are plotting to murder their husbands and
go through, figure out how they got caught. They're right. Like, I won't make that mistake. Plus, well, I don't know. I mean, how many hours is it before a case is considered unsolved? Like, if they don't have any new
like,
leads?
It's like 23
Not
minutes.
A lot. Yeah, they're just unsolved, sell it.
If the guy isn't still at the crime scene with the gun, they're like, I don't know how we're going to figure this out, man. We got so much shit to do. Are you kidding? There's so many murders all the time. We don't, we don't even know who killed JonBenet Ramsey, and her brother basically admitted it. And we're still like, we don't know.
Wait,
it's so crazy.
It's still up in the air.
Yeah, there's so many options.
Although I will say, as sketchy as it sounds, for like, you know, the families of the people who are getting their crimes solved by drunken house parties. It sounds like fun. I want to do it.
It does sound like fun. Here's one FBI. I'll buy the case file for Nicole Brown Simpson. Oh, it turns out it's fucking OJ. okay, got it. Out one down.
Do you
one
get paid
one for
if you
one.
Solve it?
Right? Do I get a bonus? You know what you should get? You should get your money back and like and a gun.
And the gun. Yeah. There's some incentive,
a gun,
actually.
Unmarked, serial number filed off. It's okay if there's bodies on it.
Let me just pick something out of evidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get to pick something out of evidence.
Oh,
yeah, that's
a great prize.
No, that's right. It could be like when you shoot the clown at the carnival and the water blows up at the balloon. If you blow it up all the way, you get to pick something on the shelf, right?
If it was a murder, you get top shelf.
Yeah. You could be like, hey, I want that kilo of cocaine back there. Like, man, we didn't think you were going to see that. You should have taken it out, sucker. I want the cocaine. I'm taking it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that is.
I'm calling Freeway Ricky Ross. We're going back in business, baby. Fuck you, CIA.
Because that all started with buying fake cases.
Yeah, what fake? That seems like a terrible idea. Like, why aren't? Isn't this? Isn't that like probably some sensitive information? Also, they don't want to just hand over to some random people. Like
oh, absolutely.
You're just buying FBI information just, now.
Plus, like, what if you have to like go to somebody's house? Like, hi, I'm Martha. I heard that you were an old suspect in this murder case.
The police said I was absolved of all guilt. They didn't. That was a long time ago. I don't know.
I just want to talk to you.
Or someone that was involved in a case comes back and, no, I'll buy that one.
Yeah, I'll take all that evidence.
Totally, yeah.
And then something bad happens to somebody because they have some information that they weren't quite privy to before. I just needed to clear up a couple holes.
I wanted to create a couple holes in somebody's chest cavity.
That is I didn't even think about that.
This seems like a terrible idea. They can't. That seems also fucking illegal. We're just selling our case files. How desperate is the goddamn government? What the fuck are we taking? Who fucking tax Jeff? Just tax Jeff Bezos a little more. Jesus Christ, people. Yeah. Stop selling. What are we going to be selling the fucking parts from the Roswell now?
Some forward-thinking production company should buy up some of these case files, and there's some stories and some movies ready to happen.
No kidding.
Instead of just remaking every Disney movie for like the 12th time.
Disney brings you murder at the sorority house.
But also on that, though.
Voiced by Jeff Goldblum.
It's just a quick, easy way to get money. Like, I doubt they actually expect these people to solve anything, but they do need to, you know, get paid. So why not just sell some unsolved shit, make a little money.
This is a chicken and egg scenario. They're not solving these cases because of funding, maybe, in some cases. So let's generate funding by what's going on here.
Cases, they generate. We get some extra money. We can lay people off. They'll do our work for us. They'll think it's neat.
And then they'll just
shelve
it.
And I'll get a promotion.
Yeah.
It's my idea, hey.
I feel like this is how vigilantes are born.
Absolutely.
We're knocking on the doorstep of the purge happening right now.
Ugh, I always think about the purge. I don't always think. I think a lot more about the zombie apocalypse, but the purge.
I don't think about the purge so much as I think about all the people that are eagerly looking forward to the purge.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm waiting.
Yeah, that's... I'll take it. That's why I'm just excited for zombies. Well, not excited for, but ready.
But if they're Romero zombies, I don't want none of these fucking Olympic track star steroid zombies.
Not the World War Z ones.
No 28 Days Later shit. I want fucking old school Romero headshot, you're done zombies.
Shuffling
shamblers is what I'm looking
shuffling
forward to.
Shamblers. Yeah, I think I could outrun at least a short distance a shuffling shambler.
Yeah, you just don't trip on anything.
Yeah.
Tripping in the woods on random stuff.
Well, as long as you don't fucking have your head completely looking behind you while you're running. What is up with that? It's the most frustrating thing. Okay, last story. This is the last story.
Last story.
Mom brands kids book explaining reproduction, quote, child-friendly Kama Sutra. And they have pictures.
What?
And I do. Yeah.
They have pictures of... So it's child-friendly reproduction.
I could see child-friendly sex education books.
Yeah.
With pictures, sure.
You should see some of these pictures.
But a child-friendly Kama Sutra? Child-friendly tantric sex.
Yeah.
Manuals available now.
Kids are getting it on early, man. It's scary.
This is a fact.
Okay. Also, sub-headline, just to illustrate a little bit for the people who won't get to see these pictures. A mom has left thousands of other parents shocked by sharing the contents of a book explaining to children how babies are made, saying it contains aerial acrobatics, fetish clown outfits, and space hoppers. Whatever the fuck a space hopper is.
Oh, a space hopper. Man, you got to get down. You got to get out more, Sophie. Space hopper?
And she found this in a doctor's waiting room. Wait, what's a space hopper?
I'm in the dark on this one,
That's
too.
Right off the subterranean riggers, man. You got to know what's up.
Am I supposed to Google search this right now?
Well, not on safe search.
Oh, I don't have safe search.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know about that?
I'm looking it up. I'm looking up what a space hopper is.
A space hopper?
And this is on you if I'm scarred forever.
I must be living too vanilla of a life.
The space hopper, the Cosmo Crippler?
Okay, this cannot be what you were fucking referring to.
No. No.
Yeah, that's it. Where do you think those tentacles go, Sophie?
Not you.
Well, you say that now.
Is that face to face or back to back? That how do you use that implement?
Face to butt.
Well, of course.
Yes,
of course.
That's pink eye right there. Is what that is.
She does look happy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a space hopper.
That is a very wide grin.
Yeah, it vibrates.
God. Oh God! Actually, you know that's.
Now Sophie's on board all of a sudden.
She's deep in thought.
She's turning the corner on this space hopper.
She's contemplating.
I was thinking about it. So it's in the doctor's waiting room. Diagrams of clowns demonstrating sexual positions.
Jesus Christ, what kind of doctor is it? Do they need to get goddamn Obamacare?
Thanks, Obama.
Insurance. Like, and you have clowns fucking in our waiting room making kids. Yeah. Hey, cream pie in the face means a different thing now, kids.
Oh my God.
It is exactly what... Okay, so sorry. Honestly, this thing has so many words that I feel like I'll be embarrassed to read it. I'll read one paragraph of this. Okay.
Hold on. Wait. Yeah, hold on. Why? You want to do what now? It's what?
Oh, no. You're not. Okay, fine. One paragraph. Okay. By page 6, readers are introduced to simplified drawings of genitalia with an arrow from the penis to the vagina explaining, this fits here.
Ooh.
It explains, daddy also has a tube.
At least you hope it's going to fit. Get that lube, baby. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll do it the old way.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll do it the old way. The tube goes into mommy's tummy through a little hole. Then the sweet simmons. I can't even say it right. Using the tails.
Get all the tail, baby.
Okay, I can't. But I will show you the pictures. I'm so sweaty right now.
That's what she said.
Okay, so this is one.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
See this.
Scroll down a little bit too. You'll see the space hopper. You'll see that is actually what they were referring to.
You're going to have to throw a link to that in the description.
Yeah, you probably should. All right. Okay.
We can't not share that with anyone who's listening to this.
This is great. They're on balloons. They're having a
good
time.
That's the space hopper.
You know, I think it's going to be hard to beat off to later, but I'll make it, I think.
I believe in you, Deez.
Thank you, Zalandi.
Yeah, what the hell with that? The balloons? That's not even in the regular Kama Sutra. That's just like, what? And they've got like, their little high-up boobs.
Yeah, they're like on balloons. That's all right. Well, I'm kind of into it.
Clowna Sutra.
Clowna Sutra.
that's fun. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of flavors in this world.
Hey,
yeah.
You know what? The internet had so much promise at one time. Now it's just a den of iniquities.
Yeah.
That does bring a whole new definition to kiddie porn, though, because that's actually porn for
kids.
The kids. Yeah.
Yeah. For the children. All right. Well, there you go. That's the news. all right, guys. Let's see. Steve, you want to shout out your social media, where people can find you, follow you on platforms?
Pretty much everything is /knotheadmusic. Facebook.com/knotheadmusic. Twitter.com/knotheadmusic. Instagram.com/knotheadmusic. YouTube.com/knotheadtv. That's like the most important stuff. Five albums, four. Fifth one hasn't been put up yet, but knotheadmusic.bandcamp.com, and t-shirts, hoodies, hats, clothing, gear.
Get it all.
knotheadmusic.bigcartel.com.
I got my shirts.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Thanks again.
Your favorite, your least favorite rapper's least favorite rapper shirt.
Is that the saying on the back?
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. All right, guys. So go check out all his work. Follow him. Find him on social media. Follow him. Look for updates. Buy the albums. Make sure you go get your tickets now before they sell out to the PIN on April 30th. And as for me, guys, I will be at the Comedy Club this Thursday through Sunday. And then I'll be at Lewiston on the 27th, Black Diamond on the 28th, and Drink and Debate coming back on the 29th at the Comedy Club also. Go to DeeceComedy.com/calendar. Check out all the dates coming up, and got a bunch of stuff coming down the pike, guys. I picked up some new rooms recently, so we're gonna be on the move, doing some stuff, doing some new fun things. And then come back next week, guys. One of dear friend of the show, Erin Parks, coming back on. She's gonna be here. We're gonna do some more improv music with her. Can't wait for that. All right, guys. For Steve, thanks very much for coming on, man. I appreciate it. I'm gonna come back on again, and we'll.
Dude, I had so much fun. I love stand up comedy. So I need to come see you. I'd love to come back and like talk comedy.
Let's do it. We'll get you back on.
I can't speak from an insider point of view, but as from like a consumer and a fan, I would love to talk comedy.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll get you back on, and then come to a show sometime. Just hit me up, and we'll have you come in. Sit in on a show, man. I can always get you tickets. So.
Yeah, buddy.
I do stuff around the area all the time. So for the Social Hour, guys, I am Deese. And for Steve and Sophie, thank you very much, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Ray Charles, Alex Trebek, the country of India, JonBenet Ramsey, OJ Simpson, the CIA, clown porn, Housewives, and the Star Wars prequels. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!